This is the point where the I and I don't meet. This is the point that spells defeat. I have watched your own love written like tabloids. I had to stumble on by my food. There you were, unfolded in headlines and horror. I love all those bits of you. I love all those bits of you. Are fighting you. Turn the gosh on to avoid my cry. You cup your arm to care where the hurt went in. Why does it hurt? Complications of leftover racisms. Why does it hurt? Start the road trip off with accusations of why does it traffic stretching in the dust. Someone's leaving punches in my gut. Look, I'm bleeding. Not free for me this time. This time, not free for me this time. Just for the record, there is no record. It's a problem. There is no this is what you said, cause that's already gone. All we have are our love and our guts, baby. All we have are our love and our guts, baby. All we have are our love and our guts, baby. They're all over the road.
And it's the late edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. Weekend, 3.5 hours. I'm Robert North, and coming up for the next, well, until 1 o'clock, it's going to be Civil Rights on the Streets. Discussion of Clearview Court at 10 o'clock with Clearview resident Jeff. We're going to be having some discussions of Christopher Crone's proposals in The Good Times and more. Stay with us.
For Lieberman, a vote no more. No Gephardt and no Gore. I know who they're working for. I'll vote for them no more. I'm going to the left. You say you will not go with me. You turn your eyes away. We'll be right back. then I'm gone. I got a boat at the head of that creek, going up to see him about the middle of the week. Kiss him on the lips, just sweet like wine, wrap my legs around him like a sweet potato vine. Go,
and welcome to Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. Looks like our 9:30 call-in guest is a little late, just like I am. So we're going to kind of roll with the punches here. Welcome to another edition of what we're doing, which is essentially checking out issues that don't get checked out by the mainstream media. This is, of course, what free radio does generally. I try to focus on the rights of poor and homeless people, as well as people who are threatened with that condition, such as the Clearview Court people. And at 10 o'clock, I'm expecting a guest in the studio to discuss what's cooking at Clearview Court, which we began to discuss on Thursday after a heartrending. That's the word Scott Kennedy used. I'd use the same word. We rarely share the same description. I hope the City Council's response to it. Well, actually, that's not true. I don't hope the City Council's response is going to be a compassionate and pertinent one, because I'm, frankly, I think I know the City Council too well to really have any expectations or to raise any hopes about that. But to describe it as heartrending is, in fact, what it was. And unfortunately, when we played the tape of that session, which I made sort of off to the side, it was barely audible. It wasn't really even really airworthy unless you were very, very patient. I apologize to listeners for that. I had hoped to get a copy of the tape that the City Council itself makes of such things, which is a better quality. But unfortunately, they were unwilling to make it on short notice. They demanded a 24-hour turnover time, so it couldn't be done in time for the show. So hopefully, if the issue is still on the boiler, on the burner, and on the boiler, boiling away on the burner, then on Thursday I'll have some of that to play, and maybe we'll play some of the eloquent appeals again, this time in a more audible form. But they were very, very moving, embarrassing. Kind of, it's depressing to see people humiliated by this City Council as it sells out its rent control. And there have been some recent developments in the paper. We're going to be talking about that as we proceed. I'm kind of slow on the uptake this morning, so I'm going to give us one more musical number while I get things lined up more ABC and look for the missing guests, as a seems to be the case this morning. But I think, as I said, we will be having a Clearview Court guest in at 10. I spoke to him at 9, Jeff Mecki. And I did get a call from Barbara Tiger, who's a Clearview Court resident. You may remember Barbara. She spoke, I guess, last Sunday, and again, she may have also called in on Thursday. She wanted to clarify that the meeting that we were all wondering whether it was going on or not on, I think it was on Thursday, had to do with the board of the directors of the Clearview Court and wasn't some specific meeting about of the general membership of the what I call the city council sellout, or maybe it's the landlord sellout ratified by or mediated by the Santa Cruz City Council. So that was her bit of information for the show. She called in from work. She works on Sunday. She can't hear us on the air, so she's not able to contribute to this show directly. But she has been contributing, of course, when she can, and I really appreciate that she does. A little musical break, and I will be back with more news and views. Surreal, a.k.a. Streetside Ernie, as I sometimes call him. He's out there on the streets, and he's making a few CDs, even as he's struggling with a homeless situation. On the line with us is a poetess and an activist. Would you like to sign in there?
Hi, this is Jane.
Hey, Jane. You're with PERC, right?
Yes.
And what is PERC?
psychiatric inmates rights collective concerned with the treatment of people locked up inside mental institutions and things like that.
So you don't simply do research papers and write notes to the paper, but you to the newspapers, but you actually go into these places and try to extricate people there for their court hearings, things like that?
Well, some of us do that, and what I want to say about that is that there's a great need for people to go into the locked facilities and befriend those that are being held inside, locked up. We just need a lot more people. And I know it's a hard thing to do. Most people do not want to go in those places, especially if they've been in them.
Well, you can visit without getting snatched, presumably.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Anyway, could I just read these few poems and then get off? I was really impressed with Leela calling and your invitation to having those of us who have a voice about the mental health system to call you, and
sure.
I appreciate the time.
Yeah, appreciate your calling. Go ahead.
All right, the first one. My mother never told me about psychiatry, restraints, neuroleptic drugs, electroshock therapy. The next one. God is small potatoes, the doctor said to her. You're suffering from religiosity. Locked up, restrained, drugged, and shocked. Her belief in God, he mocked. Later found guilty of Medi-Cal fraud, he paid a small pittance, did some community hours, and continued his practice as a psychiatrist. I have one really short one. I do go through court with people, and it's really heart-wrenching. Anyway, my friend who was trying to get out of a locked facility was denied, and then I wrote this. She wants out. Like you and me, she wants to be free. Confined and drugged, she remained. Maybe in solitary, she'll be restrained. In the mental ward, she's locked. In the future, will she be shocked? Archaic and brutal tortures remain for those labeled as insane. And I would just really like to hear from other people who have written about their experiences, and to have anyone who's interested in perhaps getting involved with the Psychiatric Inmates Rights Collective to give me a call. And should I give my number?
Sure.
Okay.
Definitely give your number.
And it's 475-7904.
475-7904.
Right. And thank you. And I'll let you go.
Hey, thanks for calling in, Jane.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, Jane's been at this a real long time, and she does the kind of work I would say almost no one else in this county does, myself included. And I occasionally kind of come along with her on some of these expeditions, but she's at it regularly, and she's there, well, she's there to for solidarity and to not simply to help someone clear their mind and realize they're not alone, but clarify issues for them, get them in touch with other folks, put some pressure on the authorities that are locking people up, forcibly medicating them, dumping them into conservatorships and board and care homes and things like that. It's something we've talked about before. Particularly vulnerable are homeless people on this issue. And I'm glad someone's out there doing it. If you've got poetry yourself, you want to call in and read, you think is relevant to this, anything you hear on this show, you're welcome to do so. And the call-in number is 427-3772. This is 96.3, 101.1, and www.freakradio.org out of Santa Cruz. And the name of the show is Bathrop's Piers Broadsides, and I'm Robert Norse. This is a twice-weekly show, and I come on every Thursday for 6 in the evening, and, of course, today on Sundays. Catch me off-air at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. And if you're a bit shy about going on the air, you want to simply maybe do a taped interview or simply pass on information, I'd be happy to put it out to the more to the broader community, and you can do it that way. While I'm waiting for the Clearview Court guest to show, I'm going to play an interview from November with Dennis Adams, who's pastor of the Potter's Hand. That's the group that used to serve food downtown, and we'll be having its last meal. Well, that sounds kind of ominous. Actually, in about an hour, today in the afternoon, in the morning in the afternoon, at Loudon Nelson Center. Loudon Nelson Center, Dennis informed me this morning, will be closing on Sundays as a budget measure. It's too bad we can't get Dick Wilson to take a significant salary cut from his 160 Gs a year, but he probably needs the money for that those vehicles and so forth. He has his responsibilities. It will be closing, so they won't be doing their indoor meal, and they stopped their outdoor meal many, many months ago, apparently under city pressure. And I did an interview with him in November talking about this and called him this morning to confirm whether the information was still current, up-to-date, and accurate, and he confirmed that it was. So I'm going to play that for you now, and then we're going to be talking, I hope, with a Clearview Court resident about latest events or non-events at Clearview Court.
It's about 20 to 2, a little bit before. This is actually Thanksgiving meal that Dennis Adams is throwing here at Loudon Nelson Center on November, 23rd, I guess it is, on a Sunday. So what's the deal? You do this every year or what?
Every year we have a Thanksgiving feed here at Loudon Nelson, and this year we're expecting probably around 400 people. We had over 200 for breakfast this morning. It's a small continental breakfast, but with bagels and cream cheese. But it's the full Thanksgiving dinner this afternoon. And we do this the Sunday before Thanksgiving.
Huh. Wow. And you do this because out of your millions you've pocketed in your illegal business oil ventures, or what?
Yeah, I wish I did have the millions, but no, we actually were able to call some people outside the county of Santa Cruz and also across the nation, and four donors gave enough money. And this the cost of this particular meal, and because I know it right off the top of my head because I just got through adding it all up, is approximately $1,182 for this day.
Wow.
Just to, you know, it's all fresh food and everything is made fresh. That we have 12 turkeys that have been cooked, and very well. Everything was great, you know. And I will say this, and I'd like to say it. I'd like to say this publicly. I'm not really a man that makes these kind of statements, but I went to Safeway, and they refused to sell me turkeys to help the homeless. They wanted to only let me buy two, and complained about me for doing such a thing or even asking.
They refused to sell you, not just to give you, but to sell you.
So I asked to be, if I could buy them.
Which West Side Safeway?
The 41st Avenue Safeway. And so I'm not a boycotter, but I will say that I have become one now. And I will, I remember back in the days in the Vietnam War, we all decided not to shop at Safeway because of the things that they were supporting, and we drew together.
Great strike.
Exactly. And so then, you know, now I just won't go into one, and I will say this for Albertsons. I went to Albertsons, walked in with the same lingo, hi, who I am, I'd like to buy, can I buy 12 turkeys, and I'm feeding the homeless, and they said, well, why are you asking this? Certainly you can. I said, can I buy 20 bags of seasoning? They said, you know, the breadcrumb seasoning. They said, of course, why are you asking us like that? And I explained it to them, and they stood at all also to feel, you know, like, why wouldn't they sell you these turkeys? And I again asked just to buy them. I said, I'm not here for a deal. I want to buy 12 turkeys because we had the money. It was there. And she said, well, you can buy six and we'll give you six.
Cool.
So that's what Albertsons did. So I'm applauding them. But an Albertsons down at 41st?
This was the Albertsons down in the Watsonville area on Main Street when you come into town on 152 over there by the Starbucks and everything.
What exactly did Safeway say to you?
That they were...
Churches must stand up now.
I will go ahead and I was interrupted there. The question was, what did Safeway actually say? The manager was all for it, but the man in the meat department said, "Oh, you're the guy that was here last year that said the manager said you could have them." And I said, "No." He said, "Yeah." He said, "Our manager got mad at us." And I said, "No." I said, "Well, I'm a pastor. I'm feeding the homeless. I'm not here. Why would you call me a liar publicly?" He said, "I have not called you a liar." I said, "Then what have you done?" He said, "Well, nothing." He said, "But you can go ahead and buy two if you wish, but that's all." You know,
didn't have the other 10?
Oh, he had. There's turkeys. He said that they have a shortness on turkeys this year.
Maybe he's one of the turkeys that where they're short on. No. What
right.
I'm saying. I wish to criticize.
I would agree. But the bottom line is that he, you know, that's the kind of treatment that we got. And I just went to Albertsons just now a few minutes ago, so we had to buy more things for gravy, and they said only three per customer. And I said, "But we're feeding the homeless," and they broke the rule right there and said, "Take as many of them as you want." And so, you know, there are people that are concerned about the homelessness here in Santa Cruz, which is growing. But I will say that there has been a little strife with the DTA and some of the other people.
The Downtown Association.
Downtown Association. And I was invited to a meeting I told you about just a few minutes ago.
You were serving on the mall before, actually quite regularly for a couple of years almost. Right. And you served downtown and near the Cooper House on the sidewalk, both meat and vegan meal, a vegetarian meal. And really, it was quite a popular meal every day. And you encountered some criticism for that.
Yeah, I did. I encountered some criticism. Things got pretty crazy. I remember speaking to you about 6 months ago that... I felt something was being done that wasn't on the up and up. Do you remember me mentioning that to you, that what was being said, that everything's okay, everything looks smooth, almost like the quiet before the storm,
right.
If you remember that conversation. And you may not, but that's, we did talk about
3 months ago, after some other problems that also came up, you declared that I heard you say secondhand that maybe even you told me directly that you felt your clients were really no longer safe down there in terms of possible city and police harassment.
Right, exactly, which was going on. And so basically what we've done is came over here and you know, talked with Loudon Nelson, and, you know, I was going to go back. I went back to the mall about a month ago, and I went down and we met on another corner, which is just across the street from where we're meeting by the Cooper House there. But it was just too confined, and it just wasn't, it just, you know how you sometimes, like almost the pea in the 10th mattress of the queen, that old fable, it was an uncomfortableness there. And then
why
about,
did you go back to the original Cooper House position?
Well, there was three brand new stores that were just opening up, and I didn't want to just go ahead and just all of a sudden have 200, 250 people right out in front of their store. I kind of had a tenderness towards a new business opening. And as you know, our idea was never to hurt a business, but to go where the people are. We didn't draw them there. They were there. We went there. That's where the folks are out of the mall and needing help. But what we did is we came back, and I reorganized and looked at everything. Then I got an invitation to come to a meeting down at the City Hall.
The local clan was gathering. I'm sorry, the local Downtown Association?
Yeah, some of the folks were there, and then Downtown Association and councils and part of the city management team, and then a few other ministries that were invited. And I thought everyone was invited, because that's what I was told per phone call, that every food
provider
would be there.
And Food Not Bombs is going to be there?
Food Not Bombs.
During the day or at night?
This was during the daytime, about... 1 o'clock, about 12:30. It was a 12:30
public meeting.
I was made aware that it was a meeting that was by invitation of people coming to talk about who are on the mall doing the distribution of food. The end of the meeting just It was a short meeting. It was a half hour, 40-minute meeting. We went 10 minutes over, according to the leader of the meeting. Yeah. And what we... Yeah, coming back?
Yeah.
And so I said that we would... with the end of the meeting, they said, basically that their goal was to stop food distribution on the mall.
Who announced this? What particular member? You remember, it was Julie Hendy, you say, ran the meeting?
No, it wasn't really Julie. It was kind of, it was sort of like it was a consensus of just the talk, because what I took from the meeting, Robert, was that...
Holtaway, the head of the Downtown Association?
Yes, yes. What I took from the meeting was that this was a point of starting to become a point of contention amongst businesses and amongst the amount of tax dollars to clean the streets, and actually the ability to keep the streets clean for the vacationers, the visitors.
Did you see any stats, any reports, documents?
No stats. We had no record, no record keeping. There was not a minute taker. This was just a meeting of...
Any indication of... reports about, it was so dirty this day, it took this much money to clean it up, any specific statistics?
No, there was nothing mentioned in specific dollar amounts, but it was insinuated strongly that the cost was in...
Dirty homeless are at it again?
Well, they didn't really say, it was more, I tell you right now, really wasn't towards the homeless, because I want to say that, because I understand what you're saying, and I understand directly what you're saying.
Impacts on.
Yeah, but it was about the distributors of the food. It was about...
A particular criticism of Food Not Bombs, did that name come up?
No, they didn't. I asked where they were, and they said they're just not here. I don't know why they weren't there.
Someone told you they've been invited?
Yeah, I was told by definite that they were invited.
Remember who told you that?
That was Bill Carlsberg.
Who is he?
He was used to organize the whole meeting. He's the one that runs or sits on the board and is a very strong board member of Second Harvest. Feeding the food bank and stuff. So basically the whole meeting went, it was a very calm meeting, and there was a guy that was feeding who was part of another organization who was part of Elm Street. So that's the best way I know how to put that. I'm not hiding the name.
What a stupid idea this was?
I mean, it was disgusted of the fact of, the question was this, unanswered as of yet, is, okay, that's cool,
And we're going to return to this conversation with Dennis Adams from November about the crackdown on feeding programs downtown. You might want to get over to Loudon Nelson, as I said before, if you're outside poor or just want a good breakfast, because it's going to be the last breakfast for a while unless Dennis decides he's going to pick up the ball again on the issue of risk harassment, possible citations downtown. By feeding on the streets on Pacific Avenue, where Food Not Bombs does continue to serve. And I don't want to give a misimpression. Food Not Bombs does serve every Monday there at 4 o'clock. If you want to help Food Not Bombs, you can give a call to 425-3345, 425-3345. But I want to introduce my guest, and then I'm going to come back to this other, the food issue, which I think is a key issue. But not just food is important, shelter is important, and housing is important. Jeff, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us where you're from?
Yeah, my name is Jeff Mick. I'm from Clearview Court in Santa Cruz, which is basically on the crossroads of Bay and Westcliff Drive.
And let me also say that while we were listening to the interview from November, I got a call from another poet, and I want to thank you for calling in, Mr. Poet, and I do want to hear your poem. I'm just wondering, I want to encourage you to, we had to kind of rush ahead with this segment because, Jeff, you've got some folks at Clearview Court actually listening in and perhaps waiting to make some comments.
That's true. I mean, I don't know if the word got out, but I did say a word to a couple of neighbors as I left, because it was at a short notice.
Yeah, so that's the reason we're kind of pushing things ahead. My apologies. But that's what we're going to have to do at this moment. Clearview Court, for those of you who don't know, is one of the three mobile home trailer courts in Santa Cruz. One of them, El Rio, is tenant-owned. The other two, De Anza and Clearview Court, did have so-called irrevocable rent control that suddenly got revoked by the city council. De Anza's got revoked in September and October when they caved in to... MHC, the huge corporation that came into town and was doing lawsuit after lawsuit against the city to break rent control, and succeeded, even though they'd lost 10 out of the 11 lawsuits, and had no clear indication they were going to win the 11th. Then the owners of Clearview Court kind of piggybacked on the city council's surrender on the rent control issue in De Anza to threaten the leases and the situations for the folks at Clearview Court, half of whom are rent controlled and half of whom are not. Is that right, Jeff?
Yeah, that's basically correct.
And we talked a bit about this on Thursday, and the question, I guess, there was a 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 women, some with children in their arms, begging, many of them speaking Spanish, with a translator at the city council, urging the city council to stop the doubling, tripling of rents that was going to happen, I guess, the next Monday. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's true. It's a complicated issue, and any time you interject translating into another language even makes it more complicated. And they probably aren't, you know, to be fair to the Spanish-speaking community, aren't able to, understand what's going on.
They were saying that they were not told by, I guess, Mr. La Viera. Was that the previous owner's name? The new owners are Corbett and Swenson, if I'm not mistaken. But the previous owner had not informed them that they had to go down to City Hall to sign up to rent control, nor, I would note, had the city apparently gone out of its way to inform people about this, although there was supposed to be rent control protection, showing the depth of conviction of our city council and its willingness to protect tenants' rights, which, of course, it's about as deep as skin cream, you know, or less. I guess a good tanning lotion is better than a city council protection. But that was the reason that these tenants showed up en masse, and there were quite a few of them. Although the city council meeting had been moved from the evening by our ever wily mayor Scott Kennedy to the afternoon, so that about half the people couldn't show up because they work during the day. This is a tactic Kennedy has used twice before, that once disenfranchised homeless people, and then the next time disenfranchised the Bill of Rights Defense Committee people, that is, say, denied the 7 o'clock session time for people to meet, and which is the normal time when most people can attend city council meetings. 3 o'clock is a very difficult time, and 5 o'clock is also a difficult time for people to attend. That was the unusual time that Kennedy did for the last meeting in January. So they were at this meeting, some of your Clearview compatriots. Are you rent-controlled, your unit, or not, Jeff?
Well, I am rent-controlled.
And how did you get into that? When did you move into your unit?
I moved in there in 19, in my new unit. See, I've lived in that park for 17-plus years. I came in like 1986. Oh. We didn't go into rent control status until 1992, when the previous owners of the mobile home park, being the Dream Inn, you know, the big hotel, there you go. Do we break for poets?
I guess we do, and if it's a poet, it's a poet, and if it's not a poet, we'll know it. Let's see. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Mr. Morris.
It's Norris, actually, big boy.
Indeed. That's actually a more pleasant sound name. Inspired by an earlier caller, I thought I might contribute a poem here.
Please.
It's not my own. Perhaps the poet whose name I will later mention is known to some of your listeners, or perhaps yourself.
Okay.
The poem is entitled Both Sides of the Blinds, and seems to deal with the two themes that your previous caller touched on.
Uh-huh.
It goes like this. There are as many people screaming soundlessly into a pillow and beating the bed with their fists as there are people screaming on street corners and beating on lampposts. But on the street, everything shows. What happens behind locked doors doesn't happen. If your fidget twitches, falls off, and you claw at the mirror sobbing, but then you wash your face in the sink in your room and put on some clothes from the closet in your room and walk out smiling, you're fine. Everyone thinks you're fine. But on the street, everything shows. But on the street, everyone knows. If you have a room, you can pull down the blinds when you are fit to be seen. But on the street, you drown in blaming eyes, like a specimen floating in formaldehyde, the eyes of people going back to their rooms to pull down their blinds.
Wow. Great
poem, Bart. This was actually written by Julia Vinograd, a Berkeley street poet, but it seems to have quite a universal appeal.
Well, I'm impressed with your choice of poets, caller. I'm a great fan of Julia Vinograd myself.
Well, anyway.
Yes, thank you for that poem. If you have any thoughts on anything we've been saying that you want to share with us, that's fine, too. Have you been listening to the show?
Just very briefly. I only was able to, catch what one of the previous callers is speaking about, her own experience. Jane, I think you said her
Jane
name.
Jane Kaiser.
Other than that, I'm afraid that I'm not entirely au courant. But what I might do is, some future show, see, because I think, you know, the literature of the street offers some interesting insights. And where I live, which is in old Europe, perhaps, I could come up with something that might be of interest. In the meantime, let me congratulate you and your friends on the successful ruling of I believe, the appeals court.
The appeals court in what issue is that, caller?
Well, I believe it was with regards to the outlawing of searches or other forms of prosecution of individuals having marijuana demonstrably for medical use.
Huh.
Even over here in old Europe, that decision was noted with interest.
Interesting. I'm not entirely clear which specific decision you're mentioning, you're referring to. But
well, the way it was reported over here was that the appeals court apparently turned down an earlier appeal which... had it been successful,
California
would have
case?
Allowed police to search the houses and ultimately prosecute people for having marijuana, even if they held prescriptions for it. I think
right.
That
yeah,
was
that's
the key point.
I think I understand the case now. That's a California case. They ruled that medical. I think it was a Ninth Circuit decision on the fact that medical marijuana does not fall under the federal prosecutorial guidelines against the federal code, you know, governing marijuana as a outlawed substance.
Indeed,
which doesn't help most of the 750,000 people arrested this year for marijuana, but does help a few of them. Yeah, that's no. I thank you for the congratulations. And you actually you're listening from where?
I'm listening from good old Germany.
Wow. And so how's the signal over there? Can you hear us pretty clearly?
On internet, of course, yes. It's actually, I find the Winamp a superior vehicle to real player.
Huh. And are you soon going to open up your own pirate radio station in Germany?
We'll pass on that one, and I will bid you a fond adieu.
Hey, thank you very much, caller.
Yes.
Bye-bye. Wow, Germany, that is almost on the opposite side of the globe. Thank you very much for calling in and letting us know that we get out that far. It's really flattering to know that someone would be listening to the local events of Little Santa Cruz, far in far away Germany. So if over there you're still listening to me, caller, please let us know about some of your local events, how you're...